is everywhere. This is the place you gain insight.
Just talk sports.
The place that keeps you balanced.
Man, let the ball go. You know what I mean?
The place where you let loose.
I'm not sure you're sober right now, Johnny. I gotta be honest with you.
We are WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1, an intercom communication station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios.
This was like one of the worst songs ever. But it was a great video.
Well, come on. Now, who didn't like these guys? What was this, 84?
No, it was a single person, right? He was a Jamaican dude.
Yeah, you remember this one, John?
I'm trying to remember who his name is.
Eddie Grant.
Yeah, because he did the Romancing of the Stone soundtrack.
Electric Avenue.
It was garbage.
I'm romancing the stone.
Yeah, right?
Never leaving your poor heart alone.
Every night and every day.
Boy, you two, your harmonies are horrid.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't need to be in harmony. Calvin Ridley and Keanu Neal, they need to be in harmony, okay? They're on the same side. Matter of fact, great picture that we found that the Falcons have tweeted out from the SEC title game back in the day of Keanu Neal and Calvin Ridley playing against each other the first time those two met. And now those two, of course, are teammates. And Keanu was speaking yesterday to the media, and we have some of the sound that that he managed to say that he did. Listen to my greater English. And one of the first pieces of sound is about two players like Calvin Ridley. Here's Keanu Neal talking about the rookies and how they have to get acclimated to the NFL.
This is a job now, you know, just getting adjusted to that. No one's going to be there to carry you around. I mean, you got to hold your own and do your thing. And with draft picks, expectations, you know, not letting that get the best of you, not letting that pressure build on you.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, it's always fun to watch the one-on-one battles in camp. And, you know, always, you know, Julio goes up against Dez or something like that. But the idea of Calvin Ridley being out there against Keanu Neal, that's going to be fun, too.
Well, no, it's going to be like True. True is going to be the one, or Alford is going to be the guy that's going to get all that work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, he's just going to be out there covering him over the top. Or it might depend on what set they're in. But, yeah, he's going to be, like, if he's in the slot position. But there's going to be the one thing that you don't want to happen, even though this is a young team, you don't want to get showed up by the rookie. You got to show the rookie that, you know, I'm in the league for a reason. Even though, you know, he's not that much older than Calvin Keanu is, you just want to let him know that, listen, you know, we bought that work in the NFL, and you're going to have to work hard to get open. So it's going to be some good camp battles. I think that you have a good competitive team that they put together, and it's going to be fun to watch them grow in a short period of time.
Of course, the Falcons didn't necessarily go heavy into defense. They at the top because they went Calvin Ridley. But the next two were guys who are potential starters on this defense, or at least starters a relative term when it comes to the Falcons defense, especially the, you know, the front seven. There's certain guys that are starters. Deion Jones is a starter. Grady Jarrett's a starter. Keanu Neal's a starter. But there are a lot of guys that are just depends on the package that you happen to come out in to begin the game as to who the quote-unquote starters are for the Atlanta Falcons. And a couple of guys that are going to be heavy rotation, if not starters, of course, in Deidre Sanot and Isaiah Oliver. Oliver, the new cornerback, that'll be somebody that Keanu Neal will be working alongside, and then he'll be watching Sanot up there at the front. And again, the Falcons are still going to go out into the veteran ranks and get another defensive lineman. You can bank on that. But what do you expect out of this defense now this year? Well, Neal was talking about that. They moved up from 32 to 16. They moved up from 16 into the top 10. But Neal's not satisfied with being in the top 10.
I mean, I know what we can be. Like I said, we're not finished. We're still growing. We're still building on what we started. That's a cool accolade, but, you know, it's not where we want to be.
No, it's not where they want to be. That defense showed out enough in the playoffs. We're talking about shutting down. Think about this, Hugh. They go in there and they start shutting teams down in the playoffs when it counts. They shut down Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and the LA Rams, and then they pretty much shut down the Philadelphia Eagles. They pretty much shut them down.
Yeah. And that's the thing with defense. And you have this is the thing that people have to understand, that no matter how good you are, you're always told that you could do better in every aspect of the game. And as good as they played towards the end of the year, they could have played a lot better. There are certain things that happen in that game. We were talking about it last night. If Keanu Neal doesn't jump and the ball doesn't bounce off his knee, we might be talking about a different outcome for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we might be talking about a different representative in the Super Bowl. So there's that. There's always room for improvement, and that's what they're talking about. They're talking about being a better all-around defense and being number one, and then not only when they get to number one, to maintain that all season long.
A couple of years ago, we're going to a special. The Falcons held an off-season thing where they invited the media in, and we all went into their film room, and they did this session where we could come in one day and learn from some of the coaches about some of the broad things they were doing on one side of the ball or the other. The very first session we go into, Dan Quinn, the head coach, is up on stage, and he's walking all the people in the media through a new way to tackle, a rugby tackle, and he hauls out of the stands one Hugh Douglas to come up and be his kind of prop. And I know we talked about it on the show, Hugh. And when you were up there and Dan Quinn was showing you about how you had to get your head to the side and wrap with your arms and drive with your shoulder and all that kind of stuff with rugby tackling, I was going, okay, I kind of get where he's going here, but is that going to be a problem for this defense? Well, as it turns out, not only is it not a problem for this defense, but he was way ahead of the curve. And so he's been teaching a different style of tackling. And Keanu Neal talked about the new rules of tackling and what it means for this defense coming up this season, about these new rules that they're implementing in the NFL with tackling and how the Falcons might be ahead of the game.
You grow up learning to head across the ball, bite the ball, head in front, and then drive. You know, with the rule changes and everything, we're taught to kind of keep our head out of the game. So now our head's behind the ball carrier and we're rolling. It's a safer way to tackle and there's still a lot of impact.
Well, it seems like that may actually turn out to be a great benefit to the Falcons, that they were kind of the first on this rule.
Yeah, and you know what? Just to hear him describe the way that they tackle down when he said bite the ball, you were always taught to put your head in front of the ball carrier that way that you don't, you know, you don't let him get away in case you missed the tackle or whatever. But to put it behind the ball, that gives you more of an opportunity to use your shoulder. And it also keeps, if the ball carrier does decide to, like, ball up, that you're not helmet-on-helmet contact. And you know who has truly benefited from that way of tackling is Keanu Neal, because Keanu Neal was known as a little bit of a headhunter when he first got here. He was putting people to sleep. But the way that the Coach Quinn has taught him how to tackle, he's been a much better, safer tackler.
A couple more from Keanu Neal, who met with the media yesterday. We have the sound. Here is the fourth cut. He's talking about how the Falcons are working on these rules changes.
We do a good job here of keeping our head out of the tackle. We talk about Falcon rolling, so tackling behind the ball carrier, putting our head behind him instead of in front of him. So there's things that we're working on here that's really going to counteract that rule.
Yeah, so we're going to counteract or, you know, just make it so that we own this thing and we've got it down and we're not going to get in any trouble. And then one finally from Neal about what he's talking about with himself. What area? Because Dan Quinn kind of came out during the head coach, you might recall, I don't know, a month or so ago, he came out and said he's challenged a number of players this season to re-elevate their games. And one of those guys he said had to re-elevate his game was Keanu Neal. And so Keanu in the offseason said he's working on certain aspects.
One of the things was missed tackles. My aggressive nature, you know, just knowing when to make the for sure tackle. You know, that's one thing that they mentioned to me. And also making plays on the ball. And that's also something that I've been working a lot on this offseason.
Well, he certainly had a lot of success in strip sacks. He was among the league leaders in strip sacks over the last couple of years. And to that point about what you were saying when he was, you know, implanting that 22 into like the chest of Mike Evans and making those incredible
night
hits.
Night
hits. Sometimes you fall in love with those as a defender, I would think, Hugh, and
you do.
And you try and make those home run hits rather than just making a tackle.
Well, the philosophy is to try to separate you from the ball, because that's how you make big plays. And the only way you do that is you try to hit somebody as hard as you can. And that's what he did. But you also, by doing that, you know, your head is probably in it and you're putting yourself at risk. Brian Dawkins used to do that a lot. Like, Brian would every time he hit somebody, he came with bad intentions. And, you know, sometimes he hurt himself by doing that. So you have to, by this way of tackling, you can still get the hit that you want and still make the plays, but try to keep yourself safe at the same time.
Talking about the Falcons and some of the other NFL stories with John and Hugh on the morning show. This hour of the show is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. The Falcons will get into OTAs and rookie minicamp a week from tomorrow. It'll be the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. in Flowery Branch for rookie minicamp. And yes, that means all the rookies, the undrafted free agents, and the battles that are going to go on. To that extent, Hugh, you have the battle for fullback. That'll take place. There'll be another tight end or two coming in, trying to fill out and flesh out that position. And then defensive tackle. I mentioned that, you know, you have Deidrin Sinnott, you have Grady Jarrett, you have Jack Crawford who can slide inside, and you have Derek Shelby. But there's really room and a need for one more big defensive tackle. Now, you can go back and get Reuben, who was on the team. You can go back and get Upshaw. They're both out there. But so is Jonathan Hankins. Is there a desire on your part to have to get you know, somebody who was a veteran, or can you think you can fill that with a younger player, with an undrafted free agent?
Honestly, John, with the way that Coach Quinn has done it since I've been here, since he's been here, I think that right now, as the team is constructed right now, the guys that they have are probably the guys that they're going to go into camp with and see how it works out. And if somebody comes up or somebody comes available, they might add somebody like as we get closer to the season. But I think right now they're going to give the guys that they have on here every opportunity to show what they can do. And if they feel like they need depth at that position, that'll be something that they will address as we get through the season. But I think that when you look at the interchangeable pieces as far as that defensive line is concerned, that they're not that's not a big pressing need as of right now.
Is it, by the way, has anybody heard anything more about Matt Ryan's contract? Did I miss that there's been any movement on that at all? Because we're waiting on Rodgers' contract, Ryan's contract, and apparently on Tom Brady's contract, because apparently Tom Brady is waiting on those two now.
I just read something on the Twitter that said that I guess the GM for the Green Bay Packers said that they expect that Aaron Rodgers' contract should be done soon.
Mm. Well, then we get the Matt Ryan contract out of the way, and I can't know. You know, the cap thing is so complex, and it's so – you have to have a capologist, a person dedicated to all the nuances of the cap. It's that complex. You have to have a full-time employee do nothing but sit around. Can you imagine being the capologist? You sit around, that's all you do? Well, it's like being a CPA. I mean, every little thing and filling every checking every little box.
You know what, when you're in it, it's easier because we talk about the cap stuff on the fringes, John, because we don't know the inner workings of how the money has to fit. Like, you got to think, like, Thomas Dimitroff and those guys have been making these numbers fit for years, and we're trying to make them fit for a season, you know what I mean? Just the one season. They've been doing that for years, so they kind of know. Like, they could probably look at numbers and see how to fit and how to place things here and still be in the black at the end of the day in case they need to get somebody else.
Again, the Falcons OTAs and minicamp next week, and certainly we'll be covering that for you at Flowery Branch on our social media. We'll be chopping it up too on the morning show and telling you what we see out at Flowery Branch. There's one other piece of breaking kind of NFL news, a couple pieces, but let's focus in on one of them. We got word within the last hour that Jason Witten is officially retiring from the Dallas Cowboys. And not only is he officially retiring from the Cowboys, guess what? He's going straight up to the boot. He's going to Monday Night Football. Right up, Jason Witten is going straight up to the booth for ESPN and Monday Night Football.
I am not mad at him for that move right there. He's going to get a gripperton of monies. Uh-huh. He's going to get a ton of monies. Uh-huh. And I know there was some debate or some speculation of whether or not he would have to pay back the Dallas Cowboys if he did decide to retire. I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure if they come at him about that money, that whoever's doing ESPN, Monday Night Football, that they're going to fit that bill for him. He ain't going to pay back, not nan dime.
Are we kind of sick and tired of Cowboys broadcasting to us? Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, Michael Irvin, you name it. I mean, are we not sick of these Cowboys?
It doesn't bother me because they're not winning any. They're not going to win no Super Bowl. So, I mean, they can go broadcast and make all that money in the booth. That's okay.
I enjoy Tony Romo. I wish Tony Romo would do more games.
All right, one, but we don't need 12.
No, Tony Romo did a good job. He did a good job. And I think Jason Witten would do a good job as well. I mean, any ex-player that can go, you know, leave the game on their own terms and go find another job and make just as much money or even more money than they made in the NFL, I'm all for that. Even if they are Dallas Cowboys, can't hate on them for that.
John can.
Yeah, I can.
John's very bad that there's so many Cowboys.
I'm just so sick and tired of Cowboys in the booth. I mean, it started with Don Meredith, and it just never ended.
Well, you got to think, though, that since they're, like, again, they're not in position to win Super Bowls, they got to do what they got to do.
All right, true.
You know, maybe in a few years after, you know, the Falcons win a couple bowls, that Matt Ryan will go in the booth if he decides to do that. If he's not, you know, touring for, you know, all the Super Bowl appearances he's made or something like that. Maybe he's, you know, doing that. Or maybe he might buy some Krispy Kreme donuts or something in the city and have some Krispy Kreme chains or something.
Why did they ask Dez? Dez is available. Dez could have done Monday Night Football. That would have been fun.
From what was told, Dez didn't really know the offense that great from what the coaches say. I don't know. I just read the paper. I'm just reading.
Yeah, well, so Jason Witten goes to the booth for Monday Night Football. That must be pretty nice. I just retire and go make millions doing television.
And they're begging you to come get this money in the booth. Well, that's a grind, though.
You know what,
though? Monday Night Football is a grind.
I will say this. Jason Witten's going to have, you know, you got John Gruden to live up to and, you know, the potential of Peyton Manning to live up to. And if you're kind of like, you know, not that guy.
Well, he'll have his own style. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can't, like, the one thing about football and the way that we watch it, 2 weeks into the season, we won't even be thinking about John Gruden because he's going to have his own style of doing things in his own way, of his own cadence and everything, so it's going to be different.
Well, and by the way, it's not like, and he knows this, and yeah, I think you probably assume, it's not like that ESPN said, oh, you're retired? Hey, have you ever thought about TV? Why don't you come do Monday? He's been working with the crew. They fly him in. They do a fake game or two. They want to see if he can actually do the job. There's tryouts, obviously. Hey, we're going to talk about the other hot team in town. Yeah, you got United, you got the Braves. Did you know there's another hot team in Atlanta? Arrows up all over the place. We're going to talk to them about their game, pride of Gwinnett County at the moment. Next.
A sports talk veteran and a 10-year NFL veteran.
Yeah, that's right.
This is John and Hugh
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this Thursday. We talk about the Braves being red hot. We talk about Atlanta United being red hot. There's another hot team in town. Arena football is alive and well this spring in Atlanta. The Atlanta Havoc is, Hugh, unbeaten. And I think in their last home game, they beat Savannah like 124 to nothing or something like that.
It was a high score. I remember seeing that. It was a high score. It was like a basketball kind of situation.
Oh, yeah, what was the score of that thing?
87 to 14.
87 to 14.
That's how we do it.
We welcome into the program Veronica Paul. She's the dance team coordinator of the Atlanta Havoc.
And my soror.
And head coach, Josh Resignalo, just Coach Rez, and wide receiver from the team, Alex Coleman, who, by the way, you played at Capital U in Columbus.
Okay, Ohio, OH. Yeah. Yes, buddy. See, John doesn't like Ohio too much. Well, it's that whole Nebraska thing.
Yeah, I mean.
That whole Nebraska
it's okay.
thing.
It's all right. I mean, it's just an old Big Ten rivalry. Well, so Coach Reswell, welcome to 92.9 The Game. You're 6-0. You're red hot. You play. Well, before we get into all that, let's talk a little bit about the Havoc, where you play and where fans can see your games.
Absolutely. Well, again, I'm Coach Rez. We appreciate you guys having us. I'm actually the general manager and the offensive coordinator. Coach Gerald Boo Mitchell is our head coach. He's been coaching football for a long time. He's an all SEC wide receiver out of Vanderbilt.
Okay.
He's an assistant coach over at North Gwinnett High School as well. So he's a great community figure there in the Buford area. So that's big for us to have that as our lead man, so to speak, for our head coach. So yes, we're 6-0. We've had a pretty good season up to this point. Got a lot of good local players on our roster, quite a few names from the local area. Ryan McDaniel, who's a alum out of North Gwinnett High School, who's played with the Philadelphia Soul the last 4 years. So be able to have him come back home and play with us has been pretty special for him and for the town and the area and his family as well. So see, Malachi Jones was another receiver out of Central Gwinnett High School.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Appalachian State. His brother's TJ Jones, who plays with the Detroit Lions. Malachi played one game with us this year and then moved up to the Albany Empire in the AFL. So a little bit about what the Havoc are. The Atlanta Havoc were basically minor league. You can compare it to minor league baseball. So the guys are trying to get their film built up and have their opportunities to move back up to the next level. Some guys have played in the NFL, CFL, AFL. Martell Moore is a receiver that used to play with the Atlanta Falcons and Cincinnati Bengals. He went to Northern Illinois. He's another one of our wide receivers. So it's got a lot of good talent. You know, we're 6-0 because we have a pretty good team. We great coach and staff, put everything together. The biggest thing for us right now is just getting the word out, you know, with what we got going on. That's arena football. Mm-hmm. It's professional football. The players get paid, not much, but they get paid enough to get by and do the things they need to do to try to make it on to the next level.
You know, it's being a GM and the offensive coordinator, that has to be a tough job because sometimes you might have to make those tough in-season decisions. How do you kind of balance that that marriage of being a GM and offensive coordinator?
Well, I actually was, before I came here, I was the head coach for the High Country Grizzlies, the team that we're playing this week. I was the head coach there last year. Going into this season, I was still the head coach, and then I resigned in early January, came down here to be the offensive coordinator. So I actually came here first as the offensive coordinator.
Okay.
On the staff, I probably got the most experience in the arena game. Our defensive coordinator coached a few years. He was a defensive coordinator for the Georgia Force. I'm sure you guys remember the Georgia Force.
Sure,
here.
Yeah.
So between him and I, that's really the only arena experience we have. My offensive line coach has been in arena for about 2 years or so. So other than that, that's it. So having to build that relationship, you know, with the head coach and have that together, I'm sure that's not an easy situation for anyone to be in as the offensive coordinator on the field and the general manager off the field. So that's kind of a unique situation.
Go run this play. You didn't run it right. You're fired.
Yes. Yeah, basically. That's what I was thinking.
But, you know, being offense coordinator and our defense coordinator, you know, Coach Mitchell does a good job of managing everything. He lets us do what we need to do on both sides of the ball. So, you know, that's been a easy transition for that.
Talking about the Atlanta Havoc of arena football team in town, and they're playing back home. They're on the road this week, and then they're back home on the 12th of May against Carolina at the Buford
Arena.
Now,
right.
Veronica Ball, you're the head of the dance. I got to admit, I've been in Atlanta 40 years. I don't think I've ever heard of the Buford Arena. It was a new one on me.
Yeah, you know.
But it looks online like a cute, fun place.
It's an awesome place. If you're looking for somewhere fun on a Saturday night, you're in Gwinnett County, you're up close to North Georgia, and you can't get quite into downtown for some entertainment, it's a great place to come. Bring your family, bring your kids, have the guys come over, watch a game, have a good time. That's a nice little spot.
You know what I've seen when I was in Philadelphia? I've seen a few Philadelphia Soul games. The game is much faster. It's not as many players on the field, but the game is much faster and it moves a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah. It's electric. I mean, if you like the hits in football, if that's what you like, watching the game, the action, you get that times 10 much faster in arena.
Where is the Buford Arena? Pardon me. I didn't mean...
The Buford Arena is, I'd say, maybe 10 or 15 minutes from the Mall of Georgia.
Right.
It's right across from Buford High School.
Okay.
So if you know where the high school is, you'll be able to find it pretty quickly. And you can check us out at atlantahavoc.com.
All right. Just wanted to check. I didn't mean to step on that. I was just kind of
curious
what it was.
I was just going to ask you, what is the speed of the game? I mean, not the speed of the game, but talking about the hits in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's going on in arena football now to try to make the game safer like they're doing in the NFL, like to try to, you know, curb the big hits that they have? Because in arena football, they have some monster hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really not a targeting focus like there is in the NFL and things of that nature. One thing about the arena game, since it moves so fast, we don't really have the instant replay that they would do to go question the hit and things like that. But the game is so wide open without us having nets. Most of the kickoff returns that we get and stuff like that are a lot of times squibs or on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates just a lot of collision in terms of the guys running down, us picking them up, or us being the guys that's running down. So the hits, there really isn't any type of limitation on them. There isn't any type of caution. It's a high-intensity game.
Wide open.
It is
full
real wide
throttle.
Open. Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that.
Alex Cole is a wide receiver for the Atlanta Havoc, and you guys, you know, Coach was saying you guys are pretty good. I mean, 87-14. I'm thinking
that's,
you guys.
That's blowing folks out. That's like they
quit. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, that is disrespectful.
No matter who it is, I mean, you're going.
Would you have like 9 touchdowns in the game or something? I mean,
I had 2,
uh-huh.
But amongst our team, I mean, we had interception returns. We had. Almost every one of our receivers had multiple touchdowns and things of that nature. But the best thing about it, I think, with us is that no matter who it is, we don't play down a competition. We execute, we do our jobs, and we running through whoever. You know, whoever they put in front of us.
To watch the Atlanta Havoc, it's really dynamic. I mean, the smart way that they use the ball, the way that they put themselves in position, it's really something to see. I mean, people need to come check us out.
I'm guessing, Alex, that you guys are the best team in the league.
Yes. Yes.
You blowing folks out 80-something to 14. Yeah,
6-0.
Say,
you're probably the best team in the league.
Yeah, we're not shying away from that either. We're the best team in the league. I think the best thing about our team is we have a culmination of talent but also experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have guys on just our receiving corps alone who we have like levels of veterans. So we got a guy like Teron Lewis who's been in the game for over 10 years. He's accomplished a lot of things, has a lot of record holdings. And then you have Ryan McDaniel. He's been in the game for several years, got multiple championships. Then you have guys like me and Isaiah Jupiter who have played the game. This will be my fourth year. I think this is Jupiter's sixth, mm-hmm. five or six or fifth or sixth, something like that. So it's just a lot of us that have played the game at certain levels and also have done it on for a certain number of years. And as a group, we can all feed off of each other and we all hold each other accountable to a certain standard on the field. That's why you get something like 87 to 14.
So at this point, it still look like you got a lot of football left to play. So how do you stay focused and not get too far ahead of yourself? Because I know at this point you're blowing folks out 87 to 14. Y'all have to be thinking championship. But how do you maintain the focus with so much football left to be played?
It's just a responsibility we hold to each other. You know, you got to hold each other accountable. And like Coach Reyes said, we all understand that we're here for a purpose in terms of the havoc, but also individually we're here for a purpose too. We want to move up. Mm-hmm. We want to increase what we're doing. We want to get as much exposure as we can because we're helping the Havoc team, but we're also helping ourselves. And if we can do that and still be focused on the ultimate goal, we all are being successful. We've already had, two or three players move up already mm-hmm. in, the matter of one game, something like that. So, I mean, we just try to accomplish both goals. And if you come to the team, you either get with that flow, and then we can just keep moving forward.
The Atlanta Havoc plays at Buford Arena across from Buford High. Their next home game will be on the 12th against Carolina. They have two more home games coming up on the 26th of May and then on the 2nd of June, which happens to be my birthday.
Early birthday, John.
That'll be a lot of fun. Coach Rez, Veronica, Paul, and Alex Coleman from the Atlanta Havoc. Coach Rez, I know as the general manager of the team, in this market with Atlanta, I mean, you got the Braves, you got United, you got the Falcons, of course, you got the Hawks. You have Atlanta United, too, which is getting in.
And you got another football team coming to town, too.
Yeah, you're going to have the AAF team coming into town. That's right. I forgot about that. The Swarm, the Dream. There's a lot going on in town. The Stripers, you name it, and the colleges, too. There's a lot going on in town. How do you grab the attention in and amongst all of that?
Well, the biggest thing, there's a lot of stuff going on, but there's a lot of people, too. So if we can market correctly, I think one of the biggest things we did is, you know, we partnered. We did a cross-promotion with the Gladiators. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be looking to do the same thing with the women's arena team. So doing those different things, instead of competing with each other, find ways to partner with each other because there's plenty of people in the area. There's plenty of people to go see different things. So it's just a matter of how we don't want to step on anyone's toes. We're like, oh, we're the only game in town. And if anyone did that, any one of those teams, they would put themselves in a bad position. So I just think just trying to spread the word, spread the family fun entertainment is very affordable. It costs less to go to our game and take a family of four than it does to go to the movies. So to be able to see a professional football game, fast paced, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. So I just think the biggest thing is just find those ways for cross promotions and just help each other out.
The Atlanta Havoc. Does it make you want to put the pads on again, Hugh?
Hey man, I can't run with them. Look how young and spry they look. I can't do that.
They got a good looking logo. The green and black is my favorite
combination. And that tank top you're wearing, Alex. My man John Michaels is out there. He's been working out and he's losing weight. He was wondering if you could get him one of those tank tops because he's about ready to get in there.
Oh, not really.
He says, "Sun's out, guns out."
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Fun's out. Get that.
The Atlanta Havoc, thank you very much, Coach. Appreciate it. Thanks, Veronica and Alex. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you for having us.
Again, we'll have to let them know. And we'll look to – what is your – by the way, what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, good. I think Atlanta at Atlanta Havoc. You're gonna mess me, get me lying on that one. I don't do the Twitter.
Right, how about the website?
I do the Twitter. We'll figure it out.
You can check us out online.
At Atlanta Havoc Football. I'm pretty sure I think they kept our same title for all three of the platforms of social media. Our website is AtlantaHavoc.com. Tickets start at $8, all the way up to $28. So that's pretty, pretty good cost for tickets. And I think children 12 and under get in free. But we have promotions going every game, $5 tickets, free tickets, you know, however it is. So it's AtlantaHavoc.com. And then, we'll look to see you guys coming out.
Well, good luck to you. I don't have to say that to Alex. You guys just, apparently, Coach, you guys are going to beat everybody like 90 to nothing. You go up to Boone and take their lunch money. Yeah, all right. Thanks for dropping by.
Appreciate it.
The Atlanta Havoc at AtlantaHavoc.com. We're going to be giving away $1,000. You'll have more than enough to go to a Havoc game. Beginning Monday, the National Signing Bonus starts at 7 a.m. On the hour, every hour at 9 after, we'll give you a code word. And the National Signing Bonus is back beginning Monday for a chance at $1,000. Some of the stories we missed this morning in this busy day in the Wendy Zone next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here he goes. Beast mode. They're not going to be denied this time. Yes, and for all.
The visit Atlanta to hear the Super Bowl, March Madness, and the Masters, because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I have a very exciting update because this Saturday I'm going over the edge for Special Olympics. It's 22 stories down, rappelling, and I had a goal. We initially needed a goal of $1,000. I set mine for $2,000. Only $233 now away from $2,000. That sends 20 Special Olympic athletes to the state games.
Oh, you got that, Wendy.
That's the crickets.
You got that tomorrow. The crickets is going to put you over the top.
But we can obviously exceed that goal because this all goes to a great cause. This is one of my favorite charities just because you're always in a good mood. These athletes are so inspirational, and it's a great cause. But yes, if you would like to donate, I did retweet the link at 929thegame.
And so Saturday at 10:30, mm-hmm. you're going to be going to the Overlook 3 building off Paces Ferry Road, 22 stories over the edge. It's, by the way, overtheedgeatlanta.org. You are a bigger man than me.
I can't wait to do it. I love the thrill. I love adventure. And other people are participating in it. They've raised $1,000 in order to rappel. So I'm just excited to be around all these people and to raise money for these really inspirational athletes. Again, the link has been retweeted at 929 the game, $5, $10, whatever. It all goes a long way. Well, last night, I know we've been talking a lot about the Braves and their 7-0 victory over the Mets last night. But if you didn't tune in until, let's say, the second inning or the third inning or the fourth inning, you may miss what happened in the first inning because Yoenis Cespedes of the New York Mets hit a double, and his necklace broke while he was sliding into second base. Now, this isn't just your normal run-of-the-mill necklace. It was a diamond necklace. He was so furious when he saw that it broke. He literally threw the entire necklace to the ground. His teammates and umpires were seen throughout the game picking up the diamonds.
Yeah, were they giving him back, though?
No, I wouldn't give him back.
Of course they would probably give him back.
Listen.
But this is a note, if you are going to play sports,
drip.
Or if you are going to the pool and you have expensive jewelry and you just want to wear expensive jewelry, switch it for that cubic zirconia just for the moment.
You know what?
Just get something that looks nice.
That's the worst. Like, I lost the diamond.
Yes.
And that's the worst feeling in the world.
Well, Julio's out there in the middle of Lake Lanier diving for his rear ring.
Oh, my goodness. That's the worst feeling in the world.
They showed that umpire. That umpire put them in his pocket. I watched him.
Drip, drip.
He picked up two or three and went right in his pocket.
And I'm sure he gave them back.
You don't give those back. Like, if you lose that,
he didn't want it.
No, you
don't. He threw it to the ground. So maybe it's.
Man, that is. I'm telling you, you talk about a sick feeling. That is the worst feeling in the world.
Yes, but it did not have a tremendous game, especially defensively. So I'm just.
Drip, drip.
It's probably because he had that going on with his necklace. Now, for me, when I get home after the show, appointment television is The Price is Right. And I was watching yesterday, but I didn't realize this because a woman named, let me get her name just correctly. I don't even know if it says her name or not. Well, it was Patrick Beverly's mom who ended up winning $1,000 on the wheel. She won a car before she did the wheel and ended up winning another car and a trip to Madagascar in the showcase. So it was just awesome to see that it was an NBA player's mom that was on The Price is Right, and I had no idea it was her while I was watching.
All right, this is
she won two cars?
She won two cars.
And a trip to $41,000 worth of prizes is what she won.
Cute. Yeah, well, yeah.
She's very pretty, yeah. Yes.
She really is.
But, you know, I mean, I was thinking, though, at the same time going, you're like an NBA player's mom.
She could be on The Price is Right.
Because on her shirt it said NBA mom. So people were tweeting out, "Who is this? Who is this?" And someone figured out that it was Patrick Beverly's mom. And I had no idea it was his mom playing because I watch every single day, so I don't miss it. So when she passed on her original showcase, which was a car, but then I was like, "Oh, she upgraded because
she was going to get three cars."
The first showcase. In the showcase showdown had a car and she passed on that and had a trip to New York with it. I'm like, she upgraded if she's bidding on the next showcase that had the trip to Madagascar and another car.
Oh,
so she won two cars, one in her original game that she played. She won $1,000 on the wheel and then won her showcase. So it was pretty exciting to watch. Well, we all know by now the Tristan Thompson, Khloe Kardashian scandal. Tristan Thompson obviously caught on camera, on surveillance camera too, cheating with multiple women. And, you know, the Cavaliers are in the playoffs, and this is what happens when you're at an opposing fan's arena.
We'll have it for you here on TNT in the report. Steph Curry is in the lineup.
Are they saying what I think they're saying?
Out of Brampton, Ontario.
So those would be Toronto Raptors fans yelling, or chanting rather, Chloe, Chloe, as Tristan Thompson is standing at the free throw line. So wow. Obviously it didn't work because the Raptors lost in overtime, but still, this is what happens when people are big fans of Khloe Kardashian.
I saw the girl that Tristan Thompson tweeted on. Cheated with. She is fine. Like, for real fine. Like, finer than frog hair.
Which
like,
one? Is this the New York one or the Washington one?
What's her name?
One?
Lori? Laura?
The New York one.
Oh my gosh. Jesus, take the wheel. She is a beautiful woman. Like, oh, nice brown mocha skin looking like hot cocoa. On
Hugh.
A warm summer day.
Brother. Hugh. Hugh. Does it make it any better?
No, it don't. But you know how they say it, to death do your part? They say, I love you, to death do his part. And somebody come and say, hi, I'm deaf. She is fine. She is fine.
How did
it's
that
hard.
Voice go?
Listen,
it's not right, Hugh.
It's not right, but it's hard out here in the streets for us to stay focused.
Are you kidding?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding.
I'm not doing another story. No. It is not that hard to be faithful, fellas. If
it really
you don't want to be with
it
your
is,
woman,
Wendy.
If you don't want to be with your woman, say, hey,
no,
I don't want to be
like,
with you.
When they just,
it's not that hard to be
it's
honest.
Like they just, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not shooting J's like we shoot, like the normal guys shoot. They're making layups. They're shooting
buddy
shots.
It doesn't matter.
Shots.
Don't you have like a moral or ethical
buddies.
Code in your head that says, hey, I just don't want to be with you. I want to be with multiple women. Okay, cool. Just let me go so
but
I can find someone who just wants
Tristan
to be with me.
Like, kicks them like that, hollering him every night.
All
bunny,
day, every day.
Bunny shots. It's like, you know what, Tristan, if you want to talk to me, you can.
Jeez.
We out there shooting long,
what do we
long
gotta
range
do?
J's.
What do we got to do?
Derek Fisher.
We exercise. We stay in shape. We keep our hair
we
nice.
We stealing people girlfriends like Derek Fisher.
Well, it's a different thing when you're talking about Khloe Kardashian. I hardly feel sorry.
Right.
Khloe ain't that cute either. Like, between
stink.
The two, Khloe had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't stand
wait a second.
Right now.
Khloe's got a body count of her own, okay?
Like Daryl like to say, she got a strong mandible.
I'm done with y'all today. Goodbye.
Rick and John
goodbye.
Coming up. Top of the hour as we continue on the morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game.